I had been taking the medicine. I had been living on like Google Forms because it's kind of before social media and shit. And nothing worked. Nothing worked. You know, I was still using the gentle soap on my vulva that the doctor said. You know, I was using other soaps that were supposed to be for that part of the body, you know, for the vulva and the vagina, whatever. You know, I was working with an herbalist. I was douching with herbs and shit. And that is not what you should be doing, because I was just washing out all the good stuff.
Right.
And nothing worked. And so my grandmother, who walks with me, she's here now. She told me that she had been walking with me and she had been seeing me struggle and that she knew what to do. And she just handed me a piece of paper and it had a list of ingredients. And she told me, you know, I'm trying to talk to her. And she's like, babe, that's not, she's like, I can't stay long.
This is what I got. We're not here for that.
We're not here for that.
We'll catch up later.
We're not here for that. Right now we're here for this. And because I had a background, she knew I'd be able to figure it out, you know? And she just handed me a piece of paper. It had a list of ingredients. And I just started repeating those ingredients over and over again. It felt like I said it 100 times.
What were they? Welcome back to Good Mom's Bad Choices.
I'm Erica.
And I'm Mila.
Happy motherfucking Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday, y'all. Do you guys want to join me in some Mila moans? Just take one deep inhale, and then on the exhale, release a nice, big, pleasurable, sexy, freaky moan. I love that so much. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
Your hair looks beautiful.
Thank you.
A siren.
Appreciate it. This is my Tantrika hair.
I love it.
my retreat season in Tantrika hair.
I just love black women. We can just switch it up so quick. You had a little short pixie 1 second ago, and now you have full mermaid dreadlocks.
I'm a whole new bitch. Literally, I'm a whole new bitch. I love that. I'm like, I'm feeling different this week. Let's switch it up.
Gorgeous.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You look gorgeous.
Thank you.
I'm really feeling the red hair still.
I've committed to it. I was going to take it out like 22 times and then I'm lazy. I'm moving. There's red everywhere already. I don't want more red. And then every time I put my makeup on, I'm like, she's cute. When my makeup's not on, I'm like, you look really tired.
It's giving holiday.
It's pumpkin spice. I'm actually in pumpkin spice. I am a walking pumpkin spice latte right now. If you're not on YouTube, go on YouTube right now. And if you're not, you should go subscribe anyway, because it's nice to look at us. Because I was just telling Jamila, I was like, I don't really watch our show on YouTube, but every now and then I get glimpse because I go back there to curse people out in the comments. I'm like, oh, that was looking good that day. Or like, bitch, you could have put a little something on under the eyes, bitch.
I don't look because I don't have time to pick apart myself. I'm just like, one thing about we've started to always wear makeup. There was a time where we were getting our hair braided. We was looking like we rolled out of bed. Some days we do, but
one day I didn't wear makeup. That was the day that you were mean to me. Remember that episode, guys?
First of all, let's
remember that episode where I was like, I'm gonna be raw, and then Jamila was like, you're kind of a bitch. And I was like, whoa.
I was sharing my true feelings that day. It had nothing to do with you not wearing makeup, but maybe you being naked.
So ever since then, I put makeup on because I showed up raw and she hurt me.
You invited me to get raw too. You're like, I'm going to be makeupless. And I was like, well, I have some shit to say. I'm never going to live it down. That one time I was mean to her. Jesus Christ.
I was just the one they caught on camera.
Do you think I'm mean?
No.
Do you think I'm a little cold sometimes?
You can be cold.
I've gotten that in some of my relationships. And so I'm laboring myself through that part of myself. Mm. I like to cut people off if they piss me off. Mm-hmm. That is my go-to. Like, I don't like you anymore. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily healthy, but yeah, then I can just turn off, which, yeah, I'm working on it. Sorry. I apologize for that time I was mean to you 2 months ago.
It's okay. It's fine. Thanks. I deserved it.
Thanks for forgiving.
I was in my been a heavy bitch era. So.
Remember in 2023 when you were in that bitch era? Dear, I was just thinking about 2023. Do you remember?
Oh, no.
It was your bitch era. We almost broke up. I guess everyone needs at least, you know, a couple of seasons where they are friends. A lot of seasons where you're going to maybe be in a funk and be a bitch. And that's just part of the growing pain.
It is. Well, thank you for loving me through all my seasons. Thank you.
I probably could have delivered that message better.
I might revisit my bitch era because, I mean, it just happens. You know, I'm moody.
I think I'm going to go into my bitch era.
But I'm learning how to compartmentalize my bitchiness. So it's just for me. I'll be that bitch for me and not spread the bitchiness to everyone in my path.
Okay.
I think it's because I don't really give a fuck. Like, when I'm in a bad mood, I don't really care how it affects people, and that's not okay.
Especially when you work so closely with so many people, dear. Yeah.
I get into a point where I'm just like, yeah, I don't, or I'll just get quiet and then everyone's like, something's wrong. I'm like, there is something wrong, but don't ask me what it is.
And I won't. I'll be like, well, I know it's wrong, but whatever.
Anyway.
Anyway, we have a very... Enough about your bitchiness and my almost bitchiness. We have a very special guest here. I'm actually very excited to have this guest. I feel like we got to know you without getting to know you, like all around you. And so now you're finally here and we get to ask you all the questions ourselves. We have the founder, the extraordinaire of Honeypot.
Yeah.
Oh, Beatrice Dixon.
Sorry, I'm like, why are you looking at me?
I don't know why I expect the camera to just swing over to her.
Right. Welcome to the show, Beatrice. What do you like to be called? Beatrice Dixon. It sounds very sophisticated.
Yeah. It does.
Either one.
Welcome to the show. It is funny. It's almost like you're like this mystical unicorn that like we've been like using your products, talking about them forever.
Going to your office,
like looking in your office, like knowing she's not here, but we are.
Literally, I was like, Erica, I think we're gonna get along with her. I was like, I don't know her, but I like her.
Thank you guys.
So welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Truly. I'm grateful.
I have a lot of questions. Just
I move around a lot, so I know how that like does with podcasts.
Like
shit,
physically, I thought you meant like move, like you
no,
travel
like,
a lot.
No, like physically, I do that too. But yeah, just letting you know.
No, you're good.
Okay,
I do too. I'm kind of jittery. I have to remind myself that I'm on camera.
People think that she takes drugs.
Yeah,
on
that's
YouTube.
Those are the comments that I wrote. I saw that once. Like that bitch is on something. I'm like, no, I just have a lot of energy.
That's kind of mean.
People are mean on the internet. Luckily, we have tough skin, or we just ignore it. But yeah, you know, fuck them. That's my motto.
How do you combat those kind of things? Because I mean, you have a major business, and people, I'm sure, always have opinions and things, and in on social media, all the things. How do you?
I don't look.
Okay, well, that's a good tip.
Yeah, I don't look, and I just, as my friend Shamika says, I just want to sip my tea and mind my business. Mm. You know, drink my water and mind my business. That's what she always says. Yeah. I mean, I think somebody's always going to have an opinion of you. I think that's just a part of being human. Like, we have opinions for people. You
right,
know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I'm not on some savage shit and I'm going to just put the shit on the internet. You know what I mean? But, like, everybody's got opinions about everybody. So I think I have grace for that. And, you know, I know who I am. Right.
That's the human part, accepting that you have opinions and that's okay. And other people have opinions about you, but it's the part of not taking it personally and not letting it like bleed into your existence and change you.
And also not everybody needs to hear your motherfucking opinion.
No, like right. You said, I'm not going to blast them. I might like tell my friend, like, girl.
Right.
Like, let me tell you, I wasn't feeling her for some reason. It might be me, but.
Right. Exactly. I think that happens. And I think that it's natural and normal. But I got enough shit to take on. I don't have, you know.
I was gonna ask you that. Like, have you felt like being in this position that you're in at the top of this like empire, essentially, like as it's grown and as you've seen it like grow, have you felt the pressure to show up as like, oh, this is what a founder looks like, or this is what a CEO looks like, or you know what I mean? Like, has there been pressure to show up in this space a certain way because of the success of your business?
No, I just show up as me. You know, I showed up. I might not know what time I'm going to go on, or I might not know all the shit we're going to talk about, but I showed up, you know, and I just want to show up and I just want to be who I am. It is exhausting enough, the way that I get to let me be responsible with my words. The way that I get to show up, it can be very, very, very exhausting because it requires a lot of things, right? It requires, you know, being home for a little bit of time, you know, having to pack a bag, right, when I may have just gotten back the day before or a couple of days ago, getting a little bit of time to myself, getting a little bit of time with my family or my partner, and then having to jump on an airplane and then having to get somewhere, figure out, like, and I know all these things sound like very minuscule things, but it's a lot of shit, you know? And so, you know, for me, I just have to show up the way that I am as who I am, you know, cause all that stuff isn't really real. It's just constructions, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that when you're putting on a front and you're trying to show up as something that you are clearly not, it communicates because everything communicates ultimately.
I agree. I think there's like it becomes a ripple in the frequency. And I think a lot of people need to hear this because I think a lot of us have been given this, like this idea that if I'm going to show up as like a business, especially women, especially Black women, because there's a lot of pressure on us to
just women in general, to be honest.
Right. Yeah.
This is a man's world when it comes to that kind of stuff,
especially business and especially money. Mm-hmm. And especially when you want respect, you know, in a professional sense, there's all these rules about, you know, if your thigh meat can be out. Or, you know,
and here we are.
And here we are with my stripper shoes and my thigh meat in my office, you know. But I think that's something that me and Erica, I think, have also kind of gotten more comfortable with and learned in this process is like, I've gotten much further in life showing up as myself. In fact, this is the furthest in life I've ever been. And it's because, hey, bitch, this is it. This is me. And this is what I'm good at, you know, like showing up as myself. And I think people get stuck. Especially with like thinking corporate worlds and corporate industries showing up as something else and then wondering why the shit doesn't work. It's because you're not doing what you're supposed to do.
But the corporate world is learning that, right? That people want to show up as who they are. People want to be able to have kind of a work-life balance. Not that that's a real thing, but right. People want to not have to go to an office every single day. You know, people want to be in their lives. People want, and I think that culture is shifting a lot of stuff. I mean, there's a lot of things happening in the economic world right now and in the business world right now, with a lot of companies, you know, and the cool thing about this generation is they're not really fucking around. Like they want what they want. Right. And you're better off leaning into that and treating people like human beings, mm-hmm. and not treating people like robots, because we're not, right? People need things and it's important to have it. And you really should just show up as who you are, because who you are is special.
Well, right? I think it's funny that you say things are shifting, because I think it's part of that, I hope, is that they're starting to realize that when people get to show up as themselves, they actually are able to provide you so much more value.
Yeah, because they're not worried about the wrong shit.
Right. Like, I don't have to, like, the other day we took a call and I smoked a blunt on the call. Listen, I'm probably not going to smoke a blunt on every call that I do. Right. But that one in particular, they want us for us. You know what I mean? Like, I'm here and I really wanted to smoke, and in any other capacity, any other space, probably can't do that. But because I'm able to show up as myself in most of the spaces that I am, and even in not every space do I need to smoke, because that's not necessarily who I am all the time, but there's a comfortability that I have, and I'm able to even on that call, I felt myself, my ideas just flowing out of me, because here I am. This is who I am.
You gave to yourself in that moment.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's really cool. Cause I look at you when I see you as a founder, and maybe you can just tell our audience, maybe you guys are not super familiar, even though we've talked about Honeypot for a very long time at this point. It's one of our favorite.
Thank you guys so much.
Feminine sexual care brands. But can you tell the people, what is Honeypot? And also, you have such an interesting conception story of the brand, which I always find, I found it was so beautiful, especially me and Mila always talk about.
It's my favorite.
Our guides, and we're always talking about manifesting and all these different things, mm-hmm. and listening to our inner voice and our higher self and our ancestors. Do you mind sharing just the way, what is Honeypot and how it was conceived?
Yeah. So Honeypot is a I can't just say a vaginal wellness brand. I think we're a body wellness brand, a personal care brand. Up until now, we have been heavily focused on the vagina and the vulva. You know, I think that, you know, we focus on that. But I think the other thing is when I say that, people's minds are going to go directly to products, right? When I say that myself, what comes to me is more so like we are literally here to serve the vagina, right? And it's not just with products. It's with all the things that we've been discussing, right? It's with love. It's with humility. It's with respect. It's with education. It's with learning from our customer, because it's not just like we're the answer to the world, right? I feel like we are a part of a microcosm, whatever that word is. We're a part of this whole thing, right? That is meant to serve humanity and to make the world a better place, right? And so, you know, Honey Pot is really to help people to open themselves up, open their body up, for them to love themselves, love their body, be good to their vagina, be good to their vulva, be good to, at some point, their whole, because we're going into body care in the future. You know, and so that's a big part of what we do. So that's why when you ask me that question about me showing up as myself, that's part of the reason why it's so important, right? I mean, I remember back in the day, when we used to make Honey Pot, if I was having a bad day, I didn't touch it, right? I wouldn't touch, because at that point we were just a wash company. Can't do that anymore, right? Now the way that I can contribute that same kind of energy is to come from a beautiful place whenever I'm coming, right? Even if I wasn't having the best day, to like check my shit at the door, because I'm here. And I'm given the opportunity through you all to be able to go out and talk to the humans that we serve, or potentially humans that have never even heard about Honey Pot, because not everybody has, you know. And so, you know, so just coming from a really beautiful, clear place is really important. But, you know, and we happen to make really beautiful, efficacious, clinically tested, proven vaginal care products and vulva care products that range from washes, vulva washes, which are external, wipes, pads, tampons, treatments, OTCs, you know, you name it, right? And what was your second question?
First of all, your wash is amazing. I live and die by it. Thank you. I sister. Travel with it. I literally, the other day, I was like, I can take this carry-on, or I could bring my bigger bag and bring this full bottle of foam wash that James. I'm like, we're taking the carry on. My other question was the conception story of Honey Pot and how, yes, and how it came to you.
Yes. So I had an almost year long bout with bacterial vaginosis. I don't know if either one of you have had it, but it is the worst.
I've had it, and it is the worst. It is the worst. It's totally the worst. And I think so many women, I think when I started speaking about it, I felt like nervous to talk about it, ashamed. There's so much shame, and so many women struggle with it, battle with it, don't even know they have it. That's the older thing. They don't even realize they have it. Right. And not even knowing that, like, because when I went to go to the doctor and they told me that I had BV, he was just like, oh, well, now you got to just put in an acidophilus in your pussy for the rest of your life. That was his solution to me.
No.
Yeah, he said, you just have to put this in your pussy every day for the rest of your life. There's really not much we can do.
Did he say pussy?
He said vagina.
Oh, I was like, oh, wild style.
No. What kind of OB do you have?
That old person.
She's like, I think I might want to go.
No, this old Persian, this old Persian man did not.
That is fantastic.
No, but that's what he said. And he said it so casually, and it felt like a death sentence to me. And I was like, wait, hold up, what? And so that's what I did. And it actually got worse when I started doing that. Yeah. I was like, there was like crumbs coming out of me. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but you asked. And I said, yes, I have had that. And I think a lot of women, they do. And they're like, what do I do?
What do I do?
Yeah.
What do I do? What were you going to say?
I was just like, there's just this strange, it's so odd that there's a strange, like, hush, hush, culture around vaginas. And if something's going wrong, it's like, first of all, we have this yoni for our whole lives. Like, something's bound to go wrong at some point. It's not going to be fucking roses and daisies 24/7. And as you grow, you like, and as you fuck people, and as you're like, I don't need to fuck that nigga. Like, there are, something's wrong here. Your pussy will tell you, you know, you learn that pretty early on. Like, your pussy like, bitch. But there's this hush hush. Like, you don't want to tell your friend because you're dirty or something's wrong.
Well, you are less valuable. That's really what it comes down to. You feel less valuable as a woman because, honestly, men have put so much value, as they should, on our pussy. But the way it's supposed to look, the way it's supposed to smell.
It's not even value on the pussy. It's value on their... It's only valuable if it's useful for them. And yeah.
If it smells and looks and tastes how they think it's supposed to taste.
It's not even just like with having sex with people. Like, even when I was pregnant, I had crazy yeast, and I was like, what the fuck is this? I had no idea. No one talked to me that, like, your shit changes when you get pregnant.
Your hormones are all over the place.
I was tripping. I'm like, I'm broken for the rest of my fucking life, and I'm itching, and I'm going to die. I didn't want to tell a lot of my friends because they're like, bitch, what's wrong with you? So, like, even amongst other yoni owners, it's hard to have the conversation because then you think your friend's going to judge you. Or even if, like, you go in the bathroom after a friend and you're like, something's not right, you're not going to tell your friend that. You know what I mean? But there has to be. I think I always make this example that I think people who are unwilling to examine parts of their private areas or their bodies or be naked alone or look in the vagina or like have the conversation, there's probably a part of you that, like, spiritually and emotionally you're hiding. There's parts of you cut off. If you're like, there's parts of your physical body you cannot examine and talk about openly, then there's probably parts of your, you know, spiritual and energetic body that you're not examining. And I think that's something to look at too. It's like, why are we cutting out parts of ourselves to, like,
if you're ready to look at it.
Right.
Right. And that's really the key, is if you're ready. And if you can't look, then that's you knowing that, like, maybe you're not ready. And if you're still not ready, that's cool too. You know, but it is important to navigate that. So completely agree with you.
So back to your story.
So you had BV yes. for 8 to 9 months.
Yes, I had BV for what felt like forever. It would go away and come back.
Did you get BV from a partner? Or did you, how do you think it came from?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I was young. Mm-hmm. I was outside. You know what I mean?
I got mine from a specific person. I know who the fuck it was.
But you know what it, you know, so listen. BV is basically a pH imbalance.
Right.
So it's not necessarily that you got it from somebody more than if they came inside of you, let's call it what it is.
Right.
If they go by male, I'm trying to be open here, but I'm going to say woman and man just for the end of this conversation. If you're with a man and that's the partner that you choose, and they ejaculate inside of you, right? Sperm has to carry life. So it makes sense that sperm has to be alkaline. It wouldn't be able to carry life if it was acidic.
Mm-hmm.
Our vaginas are an acidic environment, right? So if you're with a man and he ejaculates inside of you and his sperm is like extremely alkaline, which can happen, right? Especially if it's a guy who, like, eats well and takes care of himself and all the shit, right?
He was a vegan.
Super. No, real shit.
He was.
He was probably super alkaline because he took care of himself, right? And then your vagina is super, I won't say it's super acidic, but it's between a 3.5 and a 4.5. But also what could have happened is if your pH was already off a little bit, and then he came inside of you, and guess what? That just threw it off a little bit more.
Stirred the pot.
And what happened was it created an environment for these bacteria to just grow by the billions, because you don't have enough good bacteria
to fight
all of the bad off. And so then guess what? Here comes BV, right? So it's not. You know, a lot of people think that you're just getting it passed on from somebody, right? It's not necessarily that they got like a dirty dick or whatever, or a dirty mouth, or, you know, a dirty vagina, depending on who you're getting busy with, right? No judgment either way. It's just that whatever was happening with their body chemistry and when it mixed with yours, it just made an interesting concoction.
Some people just don't agree with other people.
Some people just don't agree with
this man.
Some people just don't agree with other people. Real shit. And that's okay. You know, and it could be somebody you're deeply in love with.
And your body's just like, nah.
I talk about him on the first episode because we went back and listened to that episode, and I told he was called No Chemistry Bay. I call this nigga No Chemistry Bay.
I mean, it's quite accurate.
And he fucked up my chemistry.
Yeah, because
Spiritually, I knew it was not going to work. Yeah. But then the sex was good, but then the aftermath was not great, and then I was stuck with BV.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and if you're a person who's prone to it, you might want to, as soon as you get done, make sure you get up, go pee as soon as possible. Get in the shower. Do not, even if you want to get busy again, don't just chill in the wet spot. Get up, go pee, give yourself a little wash in the front and the back, and, you know, and put a boric acid in there.
I was saying, say a prayer.
Pop a boric acid in there just to help to reacidify yourself, right? So that you can create the environment in your vagina to produce more good bacteria. So that if any imbalance does happen, now you've just kind of neutralized the situation. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's okay. Like, you know, this shit just happens. Sometimes you just was super nasty one night and did some other shit, and then here we are, you know?
You know when you get super nasty and you're like, please, God, don't fuck with my vagina. I know I shouldn't have done that. I've done that, like, please, God. I'm like, is that an itch? Please. Like, please, God.
And then, like, it may be a little off the next day. The other thing that we have to do is not get so trauma-filled that we think, you know, we just had a wild night the night before. Maybe you had sex with one person. Maybe you had sex with a couple people, right? Whatever you into, right? And you, of course, you're not going to be the same the next day. Like, just give it a couple days. It's going to be okay, right? And if it's not, then it's going to show itself. But in those instances, that's when you have to be responsible, you know, do a little extra, clean up, make sure you clean up good. Even if you're going to get busy again, that's the cool thing about Honey Pot Vulva Washes is they have a beautiful herbal hydration serum in them, essentially, that you could use it 20 times a day if you needed to and it wouldn't dry you out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But yeah, you just, you know.
I mean, we're living beings. We're energetic beings. Like, shit is changing. We are living. So things, you know, like a plant be dying, the leaf be brown, then come back up. It's like that. We are, like, to expect that we're going to be perfectly functioning all the time and our vagina is going to be perfectly functioning. I'm happy, though, that, like, we are in this era because there was a time where, like, you would go to the doctor and this nigga would tell you some shit and you'd be like, okay, like, I have so many friends who were dealing with BV and yeast and they're like, yeah, you're going to deal with this for the rest of your life, every partner. And that's not true. And this was, like, a few years ago. And, like, literally before even I learned about, like, boric acid. And, like, that is a very simple boop, but it helps tremendously. We have not really been empowered to talk to our yonis and be like, you all right, bitch?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And like kind of like work through this the options and talk to each other and figure out the ways we can help. It was a time when there was just like three things in the aisle. You go to the doctor in secret. This nigga who doesn't have a vagina tells you some shit. And you believe him. You go home crying and you don't tell none of your girlfriends except one because you're embarrassed. Mm-hmm. And I realized like they're really all part, like we are living. And there is a time like even I was in college in Atlanta and I was being such a smut and I just couldn't stop. And there was a time I was like about to go outside and smut it up again. And I heard my vagina be
like,
sit the fuck down,
please.
And I was like, oh my God, bitch talking to me? But it was my first experience where I was like, oh my, it was like my vaginal subconscious telling me to chill out. But there's a conversation that we need to have that we separate from, you know, we separate our bottom halves, like quite literally from our brain, from our hearts. And then we let other people tell us about it. And then we're fucked up and we don't know why. It's because we're not in tune with our bodies and with our energetic, like, you know, the conversation. It's like, what is it that I need? And like, instead of freaking out or assuming like you have the worst possible whatever, you know, you kind of have to sit back and like literally listen to your body. Like you listen to what you need to eat and what food you put in your body.
Because when your body is not well and it's communicating, because it always is, right? Right now, I've got a little cough because I had whatever this cold is going, right? I shouldn't just be talk, 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 talk. my body's like, bitch, we just trying to get better. Like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? But like, our bodies are communicating all the time. Mm-hmm. And if your vagina is in this perpetual space of reoccurring things happening, you do need to take a second, get yourself together. Another thing is if you're finding yourself in this reoccurring thing, right? A lot of, there's some people that are just really horny, you know? And I respect that. It's your body. Do what you want. But allow your body to heal. Mm-hmm. Allow yourself to get through whatever the thing is, right? And if you have a partner that will shame you for that or that will make you feel bad for that, then you need to evaluate that person because they should want you to be well too, you know? I'm not saying that they're not good for you or whatever, but it's really important to make sure that you take the time to get your body well, to get yourself healed, you know?
I think that that's, I mean, yes, but... To argue, not argue that, but just to say, a lot of women don't even want to tell their partner there's something wrong, so they just fuck through it.
But that's my point.
Because they don't even feel confident enough in their own to even accept what's happening in their own body, let alone to express, hey, there's something happening here. I need a second.
Yeah,
you know,
a bigger conversation. Because why are you fucking somebody you can't have a very adult conversation with?
But some people just haven't reached that place in their journey.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say it's even the person's fault. It's really a you thing.
It's definitely a you thing. Because shame is real. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to just say.
Never mind, know? Yeah.
Yeah, but don't go to the store and buy something that'll just cover up a scent.
Yeah.
Right? And use that because, you know, your cootie ain't going to stink. So, like, maybe, you know what I'm saying? So maybe you can just get through it. But don't do that. Just... take the time, get yourself together, right? Sex is not going anywhere. There's always going to be somebody on this planet to get busy with or whatever, right? Like, seriously. And if you're with somebody and you like them and enjoy them, they can wait. Even if you don't want to say, you could just be like, you know what? Let's just chill tonight. You don't have to say shit.
You really don't.
But just take care of yourself. But yeah, Please don't just fuck your way through it.
Don't do that.
You know, because that can't be okay. You know.
Wait. So we keep distracting you from the story in hand because I'm like,
flowing.
I really want to get to this point
because
your conception story really speaks to me right now specifically around just connecting to your womb and womb care and how important it is to really be able to listen to your womb. And so when I read about your story and how your grandmother came to you in a dream. Yeah. I thought that I thought, wow, that's so beautiful. But how precise she was for you.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, what was that like? Had you connected to ancestors in the past in this way? Or was this like a first time experience where you got a download that was so specific?
I've always had a gift of being able to, even as a kid, of just... being like tapped in, you know what I mean? I didn't know I was when I was a kid. But I've always had the ability to tap into something that we all can't see, you know? That was a very specific thing though. You know, like I remember having dreams. You know, I remember when my Aunt Ronnie passed away and we were pretty close when I was a kid. And she came back and told me, because, you know, I'm not as good as I used to be, but I still am very in touch with my ancestors, you know, but lighting candles, leaving them water, leaving them flowers every now and again, even just saying their names, if you couldn't do any of that, right? And that's a practice of mine. Like, I literally have, like, a dedicated space in my house, in our house, you know, for our ancestors. And she came back and told me, thank you. Because we don't really die, you know, this thing dies, right. This body dies, but our spirit and our souls don't, mm-hmm. right? You know, unless it isn't going to come back. And then even then it doesn't die. It's just transitioning to whatever the thing is, right? So I've had things like that happen. You know, I've had some other gnarly things happen. But that time when my grandmother came, that was very specific. Because I could physically see her like I'm sitting here with you, you know.
Had you met her before?
No, not in this life. She transitioned when my mom was 7. So no, I hadn't, you know, and I don't even know fully if it was like my grandmother was the representative, right? And once I because all we have strong genes, so I look a lot like her, you know, and so I knew that it was somebody I was related to. When I told my mom, she was like, "Oh, that's your grandmother."
Oh, she without question, she knew.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But so like you just knew innately, not like by vision, because you never physically saw her.
I never physically saw her, right? Except for maybe in a picture or something, right? And it's not like my mom has loads of them, right? You know, and so you know, so that was very specific. That was very like, you know, that was the first time that had happened. And so you know, I had been struggling. I had been taking the medicine. I had been living on like Google Forms because it's kind of before social media and shit. And nothing worked. Nothing worked. You know, I was still using the gentle soap on my vulva that the doctor said. You know, I was using other soaps that were supposed to be for that part of the body, you know, for the vulva and the vagina, whatever. You know, I was working with an herbalist. I was douching with herbs and shit. And that is not what you should be doing. Because I was just washing out all the good stuff.
Right.
And nothing worked. And so my grandmother, who walks with me, she's here now. She told me that she had been walking with me and she had been seeing me struggle. And that she knew what to do. And she just handed me a piece of paper. And it had a list of ingredients. And she told me, you know, I'm trying to talk to her. And she's like, babe, that's not... she's like, I can't stay long.
This is what I got.
We're not here for that.
We're not here for that.
We'll catch up later.
We're not here for that. Right now, we're here for this. And because I had a background, she knew I'd be able to figure it out, you know? And she just handed me a piece of paper. It had a list of ingredients. And I just started repeating those ingredients over and over again. It felt like I said it 100 times.
What were they?
Coconut oil, apple cider vinegar, lavender, rose, garlic, grapefruit seed extract. And, you know, and I ended up adding like sandalwood back then. I ended up adding a couple other things to it. It was very simple. Boom, 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 boom. And I just would go back to the top, repeat again. And then she was sitting there just like you, what you're doing right now. Yep. Okay. Again, you know. Mm-hmm. And then finally she told me, wake up. And so I woke up. Wherever we were in a place. Everything was white. It was like a round table. She had on white. I had on white. Everything was white. Everything. Imagine this whole room is just white and light. White and light, you know? And, you know, and I woke up and I wrote it down. I worked at Whole Foods. I went to work. I bought all the stuff. I went home that night. Within a couple of days, I made myself a formula because I have a background in pharmacy. I did that for like 10 years. And I worked in IV rooms and compounding labs and shit. And so I knew how to do the math to figure out the thing, which my grandmother would have known.
Right.
Because she's one of my guides, one of my angels, right? And I started using it. And I had BV at the time. And the BV I had, y'all, was like, it was gnarly. Mm-hmm. It was like funky. Like it smelled like collard greens. It was bad.
Not collards.
No, real shit. It was bad. It was like bad. I had a lot of discharge. But the thing that was bad was the odor.
Stressing you the fuck out.
Yeah. So I took on this trauma, this habit. This still happens today, where I smell myself when I go pee.
Oh, yeah.
You know? It's just a thing.
Right.
Right? And not because, like, of my baby or nothing like that. Like, just because, like, what I smell like.
Right.
You know?
Sure, yeah.
But it used to be out of, like...
Fear.
Fear. Exactly.
Like, is it back? Are you tripping again?
Exactly. And maybe even some of that's still in there, to be honest. Who knows, right? I need to see somebody about that.
Post-traumatic care.
Oh, I'm in therapy for my BV.
Right. No, this is, it's all trauma,
No, it is.
And it's all trauma, you know? It's a real
thing. I have trauma. Every time I have sex with someone, I get super paranoid. If I have sex too much, I'm like, okay, we go through back 3 times. I'm like...
Just do what I said, girl.
Be okay. Are we gonna be okay?
Do what I said, girl.
I mean, I have the boric acid pills, the pee, like those three things, like those have saved my life.
Yeah, and it then really after sex wife.
I love those after sex wipes.
I love how big they are.
Me too.
Right?
Oh,
like,
I don't even know the last baby wipe.
I'm like, yes, you can wipe my ass to the front. Fatty cat. Yes. You know the little ones you gotta like.
and get another white phone over and shit.
Yeah. I'm like, baby got fatty caddy. We gonna need a full size adult wife here, baby. Like, what the hell?
Look at Orlando. He's like, yes, I very much love those wipes.
Use all my shit. I'm like, nigga, if you don't get your own shit, it's not a man ass wife.
Right.
Maybe in there using all my shit.
I love it.
Well, you know, I think right now I'm in this space of cleansing my womb, like getting rid of all, trying to get rid of all the past lovers of my life and really creating a very clean, beautiful space that's just for me. Mm-hmm. And when I was thinking about your story and I was thinking about how it came from a place of discomfort, it came from a place of shame, and your ancestor tapped you and said, let me help you with this. Let me help you with this, the source of your creation. Mm-hmm. And also as a woman, her also having a womb and being able to kind of.
VV has been around since vaginas.
I'm sure.
In the beginning.
Yeah.
But just the way that you were able to A, listen and then execute and then birth this beautiful business.
Thank you.
From this information based around your womb. Yeah. And I, you know, as women, like, this is the center of our creation in all ways. And I was talking to one of my guides and she was saying how a lot of women, you know, they like are trying to manifest something and they're wondering like, why? I've been asking, I've been doing all these things, and they don't ever correlate their womb, the health of their womb, with their ability to also invite other things into their life and be able to manifest things into their life. And I was like, wow, I never even considered that, those two correlations. Mm-hmm. And how when you do pay attention and you do take the time to listen to what your body needs, specifically as a woman, like, and listen to what she needs, the beauty that can be birthed from that, not just babies, not just lovers, but businesses, ideas, creation. Mm-hmm.
That's so crazy. Even I hadn't thought about it that way. We do a lot of talking on here, but like when I think about that, because I even think about us and like when we met, we weren't very good friends in this entity that was created, but the timing of that happening, like we were new mothers and we were newly single from long-term relationships, which, you know, there was some entity in our womb that didn't agree with our body, whether it be physically or however way that materialized in our bodies. But in those relationships, separately, not even knowing each other, we were stuck. They were stagnant. There was stagnation because, like, obviously, like, our minds were not clear, because when you're in a relationship and you're in close proximity with someone that's not, you know, on the same frequency as you, it can be confusing. But even more so, I think, coming out of those relationships as newly single mothers, but, like, emphasis on single, I think that really helped us be able to plant even this seed, because we were clear enough and our wombs were somewhat clear enough to be like, let me put this shit in the, like, mixing some shit in the kitchen, and then saying we had no goal. We were just like, we wanted to talk, and we had some shit to say, and we were really detoxing from these relationships. And only in the effort to do that was this space created, and was, like, you know, this friendship created, and this book and this podcast. And I knew that we were in some, like, zero fucks given space, you know, because we were newly single, but, like, I never equated that with, like, literally clearing our wounds at the time helped us clear the space to be confident enough to, like, have this, you know?
Well, think about how when women do start choosing themselves outside of whatever negativity that they're inviting into their bodies, like, the things that just start to happen naturally. Everyone listening has, if you've actually done it, you've experienced this. The moment you kind of remove...
Cut off an ancient nigga, all your blessings come pouring in.
And not even just based around... not even just based around people that you in a relationship
right,
with.
Right, yeah.
Just purely choosing yourself.
Yes.
What do I want my fucking life to look like?
Yes.
Right? And what do I want it to feel like? What do I want it to smell like? Mm. Is my house organized? Is it clean? What am I eating? Am I drinking water? Right?
The best water.
Right? The best water possible, right? That you can. And that shit, bitch, that might be the fucking tap water. And if that's where you at with it, be there.
Drink that Dasani, right? Girl.
What? Right. But honestly, no, because that doesn't have to be forever.
No.
If you know that your goal is to drink the most oxygenated, highest pH that you could drink that makes sense in a water, right? If that's your goal, then make that your goal, right? But you have to know where you are at the baseline so that you can know where you want to go.
And so, you know? So many of us are so busy living in the now and the present, and kind of sometimes you're drowning in it because we're living in a time that, let's be face it, there's a million things going on at one time. And so we're forgetting the visualization part. What is it do I want my life to look like? How can I design it? And how does it literally smell, look like? Like, all those things are super important. And sometimes if you don't place yourself there in your mind and how it feels, you can never manifest that because you literally don't know how it feels.
Yeah, there's work in manifestation. Because the other thing is you have to truly believe that the shit is possible, right? You don't just be trying to manifest it because you saw it and that shit looked cool, right? Try to understand what it's like to do the thing that you're trying to manifest. What is the work that has to go into that, right? What kind of relationships do you need to have in order to do that, right? You know, I'm very grateful to say I am a manifester like a motherfucker, right? I really am.
Clearly.
I really am. You know, but there's discipline in manifesting. If you want to manifest, you got to be fucking focused. What do I want? That's the star? Cool. I need to figure out the pathway to get to that star. And there's a billion ways to get to that star, mm-hmm. right? But you have to be willing to be organized enough and disciplined enough to make sure that you're ridding yourself of bullshit and that you're pouring into yourself. And that could be as simple as you're in a relationship that doesn't serve you, and not just a romantic one. That could be
work.
That you work. That could be a friend that is toxic and doesn't mean you well, mm-hmm. right? That could be that you actually really don't like yourself.
I was going to say, the relationship you have with yourself.
Which is the most important one, you know? That when you really want to get serious about building a life and designing a life for yourself, the only way that it's going to work, I won't say the only way, but one of the main ways that it's going to work is when you get real, real serious about the fact y'all got this to where it is because y'all were like, you know what? That can't be my fucking life. Whatever I was doing before this can't be my life. Girl, oh, you feel the same way? Cool. Let's have this conversation and let's just start something and see where it goes. Mm-hmm. And then you stuck to it, yeah. right? You stuck to it. You met every week. You got a space. You invested in the materials. You didn't know what the outcome was going to be, but guess what? The other thing I think that you have to do is you can't be married to the outcome. Mm-hmm. Because then you're trying to control shit. You just have to be willing to put your head down and do the work. And also take and eat the shit as it comes. Because shit eating is going to come. Mm-hmm. Right? Something's going to be hard. Mm-hmm. Something's going to fail. You're going to make some kind of mistake. Right? And those things are necessary so that you can learn. So that you can be like, okay, cool. Let me get up real quick. You know, like how kids are. Mm-hmm. When kids are outside playing and they fall, right? Either they're going to cry or they're just like, let me just dust it. Okay, cool. Right. Let me go back and get on the slide again. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We have to take on that kind of energy, mm-hmm. right? You know, of being able to just get back up, dust ourselves off, die to the shit. So what you tripped? So what you fell? So what it was on the fucking camera? So what all these people saw you do it? So what? Get back to it, you know? And I think there's an ego death in that. Mm. And you really have to be willing to die to a lot of shit. When you really ready, when you really truly decided that you want to change your life, that's death to some shit. Mm-hmm. Right? So that you can bring on new life, new love, new patterns, you know? Because when we get stuck in these patterns and we keep doing the same thing over and over again, which all of us do, by the way, what do we have, like 80,000 thoughts a day? Mm. Most of the thoughts that we have today are the same thoughts we had yesterday, right? And when you can start to get intentional and be like, you know what, let me write this shit down that I've been thinking about Right. And you find yourself thinking about the same shit, same shit, same shit, same thing that you did yesterday, same thing you did 10 years ago, same thing you know what I mean? Like, that bothered you. That hurt your feelings that she was mad at you or was mean to you. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Part of you is playing. Part of you really fucking feels that shit.
Oh, we already worked through it, but yeah.
I'm not saying it to say that you didn't work through it, mm-hmm. but there's still a little bit there, though. Right? Because it still came up. And I'm not judging, because who am I? Right? But my point is, and that's beautiful, that you're willing to be like, you know what? There's still a little bit there. Even though you're playing, even though you guys work through it, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's just something, these are things that we got to pay attention to, mm-hmm. you know? And you know, I didn't mean to digress, but this is the work, yeah. man. This is the work, because we can wake ourselves up. You know, humanity is fucking connected to everything on this planet. Take all the constructions out of your mind. None of that shit is real, right? What's real is that we have the ability to produce and make things and change energy and shift narratives and change the fucking world. We have the ability to do that. All these things that have been created, think about like social media, fucking news, all this stuff. All these things have been created to get us outside of ourselves, so we're not paying attention to the shit that actually matters, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you can't pay attention to anything. You can't hear your inner voice. You won't have those dreams where your ancestors come to you. Maybe you do, but maybe then you don't wake up and you don't write that shit down. You just write it off as like, oh, that was a weird dream.
Exactly.
You know? That was kind of crazy. Anyway, back on Instagram I go. Oh, there goes your fucking million-dollar idea.
But there's something so beautiful about what you're saying. It's because, like, the human race, we are innately supposed to be connected to ourselves and to others. That is a part of how we progress. Like, we're the only species that you can literally take something from your head and, like, literally create it. You know, any idea, like, this is what we can alchemize. But I think people deny themselves, like, that there's that part where it's like humanity and the divinity that we all have. We're both human as we are divine. And I think it's in the union of those and the acceptance of those that, like, the magic happens. And it's true, like, your boobs coming out. It's true.
For once it's me. Wow.
People struggle with accepting both the divine parts of them and the human parts of them. And even for me personally, you know, I think there are human parts of me that stress me out. And it's in the feelings,
what
you
are those
know.
Parts of the feelings?
Yeah, feelings. And it's crazy because I'm empathetic and I can feel for others and I'm present and I can look across the room like something's not right. I'll be right back. Let me go talk to the stranger. Are you okay? Mm-hmm. But like when feelings come up for me, I feel myself wanting to separate and like get away from that, like the feelings of like whatever labels I've put on certain things, like jealousy, like just caring, like I don't want, this is bothering me to care about you this much, whatever it is. And I think that, you know, and again, like you bringing up her making the comment about me being mean to her last month or whatever, is like, she got that for me. Like, I am the queen of like being serious joking. Like, I am joking, but I'm serious.
We all are, though.
You notice, like, I'm unwilling to really, like, it's not that we need to address it. I know that. But like, there are human parts of me that if I had ignored or I've continued to ignore, this version of myself wouldn't be here. And it's hard and it's difficult. And it's like, but that's a part, like we suppress certain feelings and we keep moving and we disregard it. But there's beauty in examining those things. Like, why, what is it that you're avoiding? Why is this bothering you so bad? Why are this comment or this person, like there's usually something deeper there. And it's in the picking through those things and like kind of peeling back those layers that we kind of get to heal wounds and trauma. But you first have to be able to acknowledge that that's a thing. Like, you're not joking. You're serious. And that hurts your feelings a little bit or whatever it is. And why are you glossing over it? so you can joke and move forward instead of saying, let me sit in this for a minute. And, you know, like, just like a lot of people listening or, you know, whatever, like, you could be in a relationship that you know for a good, like, even friendships that are not serving you. No growth. You don't feel energized when you leave those conversations. You don't feel good when you leave those places. And you're still subjecting yourself to those friendships, those relationships, those jobs, and those spaces. But there's something to look at that's deeper, because our human anatomy, our bodies are truly created to alert us when something is wrong.
They are.
Hey, something's not right here. But we have been so programmed and really domesticated to ignore those human physical reactions in our bodies that are usually indicators that something's fucking off.
Yep.
But we're so not speaking English with our own bodies that we're steady moving in this other direction of this systematic, you know, prevailing of success. And if I go to college and then I graduate and I go to this school and I like, I'll get promoted. And sometimes that works for people, but a lot of the times it's in the peeling away of the avatar, that there are the ideas, that there is, like, it's in the growth that the births happen, right? You know, and like, these are like, your grandmother came to you in a dream and said, hey, this is what you need for your pussy. And someone was, you know, we got broken up with, and we're like, we smoke weed and we're moms. And we're like, we're going to make a talk. You should talk. You know, and things that seem
beautiful.
It's beautiful. And they seem mundane and they seem almost silly. I was literally thinking about this in the car today. I'm like, we got motherfucking lucky. But it's only because.
But did you though?
It wasn't lucky. It was only because we chose.
You worked at it.
We worked and we chose, and literally. We chose this thing that we had no example of, but I think thankfully we were delusional enough together. But it wasn't even delusional. It was like, we were tired of our fucking own shit. We were tired of ourselves. Like, I don't even like this version of me. Hey, bitch, yeah. You want to do something different? Because this is not really who I am. I don't know how I've gotten here, but I'm ready to turn a new chapter. And it was only in the union agreement to be like, let's do something fucking totally different. Let's not go back into relationships that don't serve us. Let's not let anybody else's opinion of us like make or break what we're going to do. And let's keep going. And it was only in that this version of ourselves got to be here.
And you guys committed to a relationship together.
Yeah.
You guys are in a very deeply devoted relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And that's beautiful. Even if the only time you spent together was here.
Oh, that was enough.
Yeah, I'm just saying, yeah. Like, it's some real shit, you know?
It's listening and then not overthinking, mm-hmm. You know? Like, and quickly, when I listen to this voice, because people always ask, like, why did you start a podcast? Like, I wasn't, like, some deep in the podcast world. In fact, podcasts were, now it's a lot more diverse. It was very white space. I was not trying to be a podcaster. I just said, I'm going to talk to her. Maybe she'll do this thing with me. And then it was pleasure. It was pleasurable. Every time we did it, I left feeling good. And I kept doing it. Your grandmother came to you, gave you these ingredients. Your pussy started reacting and you felt good. You said, oh, my God, I need to share this with someone.
Yeah, yeah.
Other people.
Because if it could work for me, maybe it could
work
for them.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm curious. So after you got this information, has she come back? Has she ever come back to you to deliver any other things to you?
So very recently, a lot of my ancestors came. Because I'm also a medium, so sometimes they mount me, you know. All of them came. A lot of the messages weren't for me. The parts that were for me, I kept. I think the overwhelming message that I've gotten from a lot of the ancestors that I've been communing with or that have used my body to communicate, it's overwhelmingly been about taking care of ourselves. Mm-hmm. Very simple, basic things. Take care of yourself, eat well, drink water, don't worry.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big one.
Yeah. It's really interesting. And so not I don't know that she's come back with a product per se.
Right.
But I also think that I'm very deeply connected to all the Egguns. You know, I got like 47 ancestors that walk with me every single day. And so, you know, there is a knowledge that's just in there, you know. So to say that she hasn't probably isn't the most accurate thing, yeah, she has, they have, mm-hmm. you know, just because they're with me every minute, every moment of every single day, and they support me and they want me to do well. And the work that I'm doing is really important for this planet. I was meant to do this work, you know, and so, yeah, you know, in a very esoteric way, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But yeah, yeah.
I have a question. Growing up, was your mom very spiritual? Like, I know in the Black community, like speaking, I think talking to your ancestors, communion with the spirits is like, it's more not mainstream, but we're getting back in touch with those parts of us, those our ancestors and those spiritual technologies that they use. Whereas before, like maybe our grandmothers.
I love that you said technologies mm-hmm. because it's the oldest technology.
Mm-hmm. And but it's the one that's been taken from us the most, you know, particularly people of color. And so even for us, like we'll post stuff and, you know, talk about things outside of this rigid structure of religion. And we get people come for us all the time, you know, but because people are afraid. But was that something that was like ingrained in you that so you weren't afraid? And like when you had knowing as a child, you had those gifts that were your parents like pushed you to like tap into that versus like, don't do that. That's the devil.
No, they pushed me. When I was 12, I had a really traumatic thing happen. And my mom called my Aunt Jenny, who's one of my ancestors too, who's also one of my guides who like lives like right on my left. She, yeah. She said, that's my baby. she told my mother that this was the moment that I was receiving my gifts. And the thing that happened was a health thing. And she told the doctor, don't over-medicate her. This has nothing to do with her being sick. This has everything to do, you know, with her receiving her gifts, because quite naturally it's a big gift to receive, right. You know? And so, you know, I just come from a family of Native Americans, obviously African American. I come from a family that is deeply connected to their ancestors, to their roots, deeply connected to the ground, deeply connected to themselves, you know? And so it's never been a thing that's been weird, you know, even when there was a moment in my life where I may have been called myself a Christian, right? I'm no longer in that moment, which is okay. You know, I believe that religion is there for us when we need it to, right? Sometimes you transition out of one and into another one, right? It's like school. Yeah. Some people need to go to school, right, in order to get the job and do the thing. I view religion as that, right? It's a form of a school. It's a form of a thing that you may need to help you be disciplined, right? For whatever the thing is. Some people, you know, are Muslim. Some people are Christians. Some people cover their whole body except for their hands, right? Some people only show their eyes, right? Like, and that is because that is where they are in their journey and that's what they feel that they need. Or some people don't even have a choice, right? And so, you know, I think that religion is actually quite beautiful because it's based on what you need in your life at the time. Mm-hmm. I think that all of the religions are serving to the same thing, right? You know, but my mother was never a mommy. She was very strict on me, but she also gave me the power to choose what the things that I wanted to get into, you know. She was strict on me when I lived under her roof and when she was in charge of my bills. And my mother had a very hard life. So she was like, there's no fucking way that you about to have a hard life. Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, one of your friends is pregnant. Cool. You're not going over their house no more. You know what I mean?
But She's fucking.
Yeah. And it wasn't that she didn't want me to do that. It's just that for her, it was like there was plenty of time for right? This is not the time for that, you know? You know, my mom never just gave me shit. She was like, okay, cool. You go get a job. You want to do that. You go get a job. You put half. I'll put half. Sometimes she ended up putting more than half. But I still contributed.
Right.
You know, and that's who my mom That's the kind of human that she made me into. She had me to earn things, which gave me discipline, which, you know, so she, you know, she really prepared me for this moment. But, you know, but yeah, you know, it's always been a thing in my family. Yeah.
I mean, that's beautiful. I think, you know, living in America, it is rare. I mean, we had on Miala, and she's a voodoo priestess, and the way that the internet came for her and us. Yeah. And just even the fact about talking about just like using, like connecting to the elements is like very problematic for people, like
tarot cards, everything.
But even the mere elements of the earth.
Well, the elements are the gods, aren't they?
And it's
how the fuck do we live if we don't have an ocean, which is Yemaya, in the river, which is Oshun, and the wind, which is Oya, and you understand what I'm saying, and the thunder, right? Mm-hmm. And the how all that those religions did is just gave those very natural things a name,
personified them.
They personified them as the great ancestors that they are, because they are literally what makes our fucking world go round. We cannot survive if we don't have air, water, fire, food.
Earth.
It's earth. The earth is our God. And if you cannot understand that, if you're not in the place in your journey where that makes sense for you, that's fine. That's none of my business. Just like me believing that the earth is God is none of your business. Mm-hmm. Right? I can believe what I want to believe in. You can believe what you want to believe in. It's whether you come for me or not, you could create a whole fucking smear campaign. I wouldn't give a shit, because I know that this planet is my source for everything. It's connected to all the other planets in the solar system. And all the planets have some sort of some kind of element happening. Some of them are made only from chemicals. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, and that's their God.
And that exactly, right? And we would do good, you know, because I, you know, my spirituality is very steeped in Satiriya Lukumi, right? Which is, you know, when the Africans left Africa, they went everywhere. When they went to Haiti, they created voodoo. Mm-hmm. When they went to Cuba, they created, or any of the Latin countries where they went, they created Santería Lukumi. But it was all the same thing.
Based in the same.
They were all practicing. If it came out of West Africa or even other parts of Africa, they may not have called it Yoruba. They might have called it something else, right? The Native Americans don't call it an African religion, but guess what?
It's the same thing.
Right? The Hindus may not call it that, but all of them, the way that all of them are connected, some of the oldest spiritualities and religions in the world know that you have to pay respect to the elements, because the elements, literally, there's an element in this room. I'm drinking water. You've got these plants. You got that fire in that fucking candle. Like, you understand what I'm saying? How can we not? We're all breathing air. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
How can you not acknowledge these sources of, like...
But also, like, you don't have to. No judgment.
Right.
But understand, it's none of your business if I do.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
Who are you to tell me I'm not worthy or I'm going to this place if I'm not on the same page as you? Yeah. And that's the thing with, like...
But also, like, cool, if you believe that, great.
But my source of power doesn't. I don't have enough energy to tell you where you're going, because I don't know that. I acknowledge I don't know what your agenda
is. Any of us that are on this side probably don't know. For those of us who have had the curse and the privilege of being able to go to the other side and come back, a lot of times they know, because they've been wherever there is. Right. And a lot of them have very, very, very interesting experiences. Right. But like you said, none of us know what's over there. Because you know why? Because we're here. Yeah. Yeah.
Are there any elements that you connect to more than others? Like, are there a few elements? Like, for me, like, I know that there's, like, two elements for me that, like, all the elements are important. But these two specific, that's where I get activated. It's mm-hmm. the water and it's earth. Like, those two things for me. That's too. Where I'm able to connect. That's where I'm able to meditate. That's where I'm able to disconnect, where I'm able to birth, where I'm able to manifest. Mm-hmm. Those elements need to be present. And granted, I'm made of water, so that helps.
Right. Exactly. We all are.
But so those two are for you as well.
Yeah. 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 Water specifically. Mm. My head is Oshun, so naturally I'm connected to water.
And how much does your spirituality, I guess, intertwine into your business and the way you choose your ingredients? And
it all goes together.
I was going to say, now, because as I research more of your history and also your spirituality, I couldn't help but think, oh, now that some of this makes more sense as far as like just some of the essences that even you've chosen to have in your products.
Yeah, I think these herbs are gods, man. They've been here forever and ever and ever. You know, they're plants. Like, you know, and they're there for our wellness. You know, if anything, that's the place that it comes from. I have such a divine respect for these plants and these herbs and these flowers and these and the water that it takes to create it, because water activates. It takes on energy like that, you know, and the messages that are wrapped around these bottles and the energy that from the people that work in this business that actually want to help people in their lives. All of that transmits into every single thing that we do. Mm-hmm. So for me, you know, we have got to come from a good place. We've got to mean the shit that we say. We've got to, you know, we've got to really be in this thing. You know, when we meet as a team, like that's the kind of energy that's in the room. Everybody that's been attracted to this company, y'all included, we're all here for that common mission. Mm-hmm. You know, I got chills. Because this is for real. You know, we make products that serve the vagina. Like, that's that's the root of what we do, to the root chakra. That is what we do. Like, that is, like, some real shit, you know? I don't take that lightly. You know, I just don't. I don't. That is a very real thing to be doing. Anybody that makes products for people to consume or put on their body or eat or take a supplement or whatever, in my mind, which is why I'm very choosy about what I put on my skin and what I eat and supplements I take and all the things, because I have to make sure that those companies are well intentioned, because that's just going to affect my life. So this is not a game for me. Mm-hmm. You know, this work that we're doing, there has to be a lot of responsibility in it. We're not just making products and putting a label on it. Like that can't be it. That's not it, you know? And I think that's one of the reasons why so many people have such beautiful experiences with our products, because that is the intention from the moment of conception, which is also why we have done so well, which I'm grateful to say. I don't say it with ego. We have done so well with our business. Mm-hmm. Not well financially. That's not the well that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the clinical trials that we've run, which we've run hundreds of them with over 3,400 humans, right? And counting, to understanding the efficacy, to understanding what people want. Do they like this messaging? Do they not like this messaging, right? You know, what is their experience? Did it make them feel good? These are the things that we talk about in our clinicals, right? Did it work for you? Our clinical trials are a part of our innovation process. Because to us, what's the point of putting it out in the world if it doesn't work?
Absolutely. There's no point.
It doesn't, right? It's no point. So we heavily invest in that because it has to work. People have to see value, right? The other thing is the regulatory part. Honeypot is in like every regulatory class that there is. You may call us crazy for doing that, but we did it.
When you say regulatory, you mean like vegan, vegetarian?
No, or... regulatory meaning like with the FDA.
Oh, the FDA.
No. So we have to really invest in our team to be able to understand that, to be ahead of whatever's happening, to make sure that we're dotting every I and crossing every T.
Right.
And that doesn't mean that things don't come up every now and again or something doesn't change, but we work really hard to stay ahead of it, right? You know, the way we run our business, we're not here just trying to buy customers. That's not the vibe, mm-hmm. right? We should earn our customers mm-hmm. because then they're real.
Right. Then they stay.
Then they stay.
You earned me. I mean,
Thank you.
When I saw you in Target, I said,
I said, oh my God,
a woman-owned brand. Because there's a lot of feminine care brands and you don't know who the fuck owns that shit. And that's why mm-hmm. I love that tagline you have on all your products, which is, what is it?
Made by humans with vaginas for humans with vaginas. Yeah.
That is such a simple statement mm-hmm. that is so important
mm-hmm. it
for
is.
Me as a customer.
It's just important.
For me as a customer, that is so important because I'm, you know, you got it. You yeah. get it. Because that Persian man who told me I need to put fucking acidophilus in my pussy, who doesn't have a pussy, who never will have a pussy, didn't get it. And didn't understand how traumatizing that moment was for me.
Right.
So I felt like, oh my God, I know that this is made with good intention, I think. And then I used it. And then I said, yes, it is.
It is.
Yeah.
It really is. Like, we really, really love humanity. We really, really love this planet. We really, really, like, care, you know?
And you are doing such important work helping the women heal. Not yes, their bodies, but really, like, I'm really in this space of just understanding how important it is for this part of our bodies to be functioning at the highest level and taking care of it and cleansing it and not being ashamed of it and using it not just for the pleasure of your partner, but the pleasure of yourself. And, you know, I think that a lot of women, we are so disconnected because we've been shamed, because we don't really know what's going on down there, or someone told us, oh, this doesn't look right or doesn't smell right or what this or that. And it inevitably begins to affect all the more than just that, your sexual part of your relationship with yourself and with others. It starts to bleed into all the areas of your life.
Well, sexual energy does bleed into all the areas of your life.
Absolutely.
And it's the most suppressed energy in Western society. And so when you suppress something, it haunts you, but like there's parts of you that need to come out. And if you're constantly ignoring it, it can make you ill, like physically sick. Yeah,
cortisol and stress can definitely make you ill.
Okay, so before we get out of here, I want to play a little game with you.
Okay.
We have a game on our show called Trigger.
Let's do it.
And basically, I'm going to say a word, and then you say the first thing that comes to mind.
Okay.
Don't overthink it. Marriage.
Wait.
Why you laugh?
Say it again.
Marriage.
Love.
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 Your vice.
Love.
Favorite sex position.
When somebody's giving me oral pleasure.
That's nice. Kids.
Yes.
Monogamy.
Yes.
Polyamory.
No.
Threesomes.
Before.
You're done with threesomes?
Yes.
No more sharing.
It's not no more sharing. It's just I just don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Doesn't mean it's forever. Just right now.
Bad choices.
Inevitable.
Happily ever after.
Hopefully.
Mushrooms.
Yes. Medicine, God, Earth.
Mm. Pregnancy.
Yes, Lord.
Favorite porn category.
I don't know if I can say it.
Who's say gonna watch it. This? Come on.
Favorite porn category. I like watching people masturbate.
I could like that sometimes.
Me too.
I love that. You like watching squirt porn?
Oh, so much. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's I got to find this right one because last night I went down a rabbit hole. You know, I've never used Twitter for porn.
You did it last night?
And then I went down a rabbit hole last night.
Oh, yeah.
Then I got stressed.
Porn on Twitter?
Oh, so much.
Porn on Twitter. So
much. I don't know anything about Twitter.
But then I couldn't I wasn't searching the right hashtags. And it was hidden. And I was like,
you have to look at
I typed in BBC. Nothing came up.
No.
Only the BBC that came up.
You got to go like the one porn
I was like,
person.
I'm not looking for news sources. I don't want to read about this shit. I'm looking for big black cocks. Anyway.
Wow.
I like watching male masturbation too. BBC. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, I went down a squirting loop, they call it rabbit hole last night.
But then I always feel like I have to cut the cords.
Cut the cords of what?
Cut the cords of energy between the person.
Oh, you and the. So that's true also because and then last night I wasn't getting what I needed and I was like, you're not getting what you need because you don't really need this. You need to turn this off.
Never mind.
And you need to, think about what it is. What does that feel like for you? What, I mean, I squirt anyway very easily, but.
Good
what is
you.
It that you?
I know.
Thank you. It's a gift, it's but a also gift. It's messy. It can be very annoying.
Not a messy
I am
gift.
Too. I
it
am
can
too.
Be so annoying sometimes. Yeah. I'd be like, God damn!
Like I go put a towel down.
Like yeah. It go on the wall. Like it's far. It goes far.
That's good.
Yeah, it's great. I just haven't had sex in a long time, so it's just me and my vibrator and my fingers.
That's okay.
For now. Until I find someone I want to share that energetic exchange with, which also, by the way, I was listening to a podcast you were on and you were talking about how, you know, sex is such an energy exchange and that at this point in your life, you need to make sure that you're good with the deposit that they're going to leave with you. And I said, wow, what an interesting way to say that, because it is an energetic deposit that they leave there with you for a long time.
And I got to be willing to share. I've worked hard, man.
To cultivate this space.
And I'm still working on it, you know? And, like, just to have, yeah, like that, you know what I mean? It's just.
It does. It leaves like, you know.
It's a thing.
Those soap scum commercials.
Yeah.
And you just, like, splash it, and then you see all the residue on the dish.
Yeah, yeah.
Or it leaves out that film that you can't get off.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it there has to be, for me.
For me, too.
There has to be discipline around it. Yeah.
For me, too. Boop, 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 boop. Therapy.
Maybe.
Never been to therapy?
I have. I just always get into this like mindful discussion and then it feels like we're just
friends.
And then it feels, I'm like, why the fuck?
Why did I just pay you? Like, I have a lot of friends. Yeah,
exactly.
You know why? Because I feel like you could be a therapist. You give therapy. You're giving therapist energy. So you're going to end up therapizing your goddamn therapist.
I don't want to do that.
Not why I pay you. Shit.
Biggest insecurity?
Body.
Like the whole body?
No, like my I think I'm a curvy woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I sometimes have to like tap into my body to love it. Mm-hmm. You know? Sometimes it's hard for me, just being honest. And most of the time I'm good, but sometimes it can be hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think another, I know I'm only supposed to say one thing, but I'm going to say two. And then I think the other thing is because I spend so much time, I give a lot of myself in these conversations and just in life,
mm-hmm.
You know, I give everything, like all of me. And so sometimes it can be hard because I have to like, there can feel like a little bit of a depletion. So I really have to like
pour into
chill, calm down, pour into my wellness routine is like on another level, you know, because I really have to give my body back what I took away, you know. And so I think somewhere in there lies a little bit of why there's an insecurity too. Just because I'm not always in my body because of the way that life is set up right now.
Yeah. Understood. Well, I guess I already know your astrology sign. You're a Scorpio like me. Dating status.
Oh, I am like in a relationship.
Relationship.
You're in love.
Relationship.
I love you, James Williams.
Oh, James Williams.
That was James Williams.
Eating pussy?
Yeah, in the past. Mm. Not right now.
No. Are you bisexual?
I guess.
Or do you do like have a label?
I just like people.
I'm the same. I said the same thing, and then Orlando said that doesn't work. That is not hot because there's special words that go with certain things. I said I was pansexual. He said no, you're not. Because then I said I'm pansexual. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but this is what my interpretation of it. I said I'm pansexual for cisgendered people, and he said that doesn't exist. And then I just said fuck it, I'm just bisexual because you're getting on my fucking nerves telling me what the labels are.
And he's out there like, what?
I don't know why. I don't like the word bisexual. I don't like how it rolls off the tongue.
I just think I just am.
Yeah.
Gospel music.
No.
No Kirk?
No.
You don't want to stomp?
No. I don't like gospel music. I like Mahalia Jackson, Depths of My Soul. I can like that era. Yes.
Okay.
Because that's music. BBCC Winans, I'm sorry. I love them.
Okay.
I love them. Like they're in like a couple of my playlists. Like I can jam with that.
That's gospel.
But I know that it's gospel, but it feels like just God music. It doesn't feel like gospel.
Yeah,
you know,
got it.
Yeah.
What's something someone would be surprised to know about you? Just one thing.
I'm a little bit obsessive about order,
like OCD. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you got some Cap in your chart somewhere. Capricorn in your chart, somebody.
Maybe, I don't know. I just like things to have order. It's hard for me if I'm in a space and it's not clean, you know. I went to a sushi restaurant one time and it had like good reviews and everything, and the menu was dirty, and I was like, I'm actually a very goal. My partner tells me this all the time. I'm actually a very goal oriented person, but when it comes to spaces that I reside in, I'm very detailed. Like when I get to a hotel room, I need to like pull out all my things. I need it to be clean. If it's not clean, I'm the person that will leave.
Yeah, like I'm not staying here.
I won't.
I can't trust any other room.
I do not spare myself. If I'm not comfortable, I have to go.
Have you always been that way, or is that something that like you've come into?
I've come into it.
Do you think it's a level of like worthiness? Like I'm not staying here because
I think it has a worthiness element to it, but not from a place of like, let me not say what it's not from a place of, let me say what it is from a place of. It's just from a place of, I am important to me. Sleeping is one of the most spiritual things.
Clearly.
You need to go to bed.
I'm just saying, sleeping did you well.
Sleeping did you well.
It did,
but I'm just saying, just the element of sleep.
Right.
And being comfortable. And, you know, that thing I was talking about with, like, what does it look like? What does it smell like? When I got my shit together, I was like, I am not for a second going to not give myself precisely what I need. And wherever I lay my head, it needs to be good. It mm-hmm. needs to be clean.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to have order. It needs to be pretty.
Mm-hmm.
I need the boxes checked. And I like sage or Palo Santo, and I like go to all the corners of the room, and I have to have like all my things out. So I'm a bit obsessive about that.
That makes sense.
But it's like my medicine though.
And last question, what's the best piece of advice you've gotten?
To take care of myself.
Mm. To take care of yourself. Mm. So on that note, we always ask our audience to share an affirmation.
Our guest
to share an affirmation. Do you have an affirmation that maybe you can share with our people?
Mm. Don't worry. Take care.
Don't worry. Take care. That's a good one.
If understand the things that you're worried about. Tap in to see if you have control over it. If you don't, die to it. If you do have control over it, then take control so that you don't have to worry.
It's simple, easy, good advice.
And the last thing I would say, you know, which is very stoic and a little morbid, but, you know, we're all going to leave this place, you know? So, like, it's going to be all right. You know what I mean? Everything's going to be okay.
Mm. YOLO.
Yeah. Live here.
Yeah. Right now.
It all works itself out one way or another.
It really does.
If you don't resist.
Exactly.
The resistance is where, that's where the chaos is birthed. So you kind of just have to go with it. Okay, so you pulled a card at the beginning of the show. You pulled the Empress card. And the Empress, which is interesting, represents femininity, beauty, nature, nurturing, and abundance. And the Empress signifies a strong connection with our femininity. Femininity translates in ways: elegance, sensuality, fertility, creative expression, nurturing, and is necessary for creating balance in both men and women. The Empress calls on you to connect with your feminine energy, create beauty in your life, connect with your senses through taste, touch, sound, smell, and sight. Draw on these senses to experience pleasure and deep fulfillment. The Empress signifies abundance. You are surrounded by life's pleasures and luxuries and have everything you need to live a comfortable lifestyle. You are in a period of growth in which all you have dreamed of is now coming to fruition. Whether the Empress appears in your tarot readings, take a moment to reflect on the bounty that surrounds you and offer gratitude for all you have created so you can continue to build on this energy and create an even more abundance in your life. As the Mother Earth archetype, the Empress urges you to venture out into nature to ground your energy and be in flow with the earth. Allow yourself the time and space to enter a different frame of mind and receive the grounding spirit of nature into your heart and consciousness. When you do this, you can reach higher planes of consciousness.
Wow, how accurate.
All right.
not the the femininity, healthcare, yourself coming from the Empress.
Thank you. Well, B, thank you so much.
Wait. We always ask our, you may not have a story.
Oh, oops, Sam. Hori.
Do you have any hori stories from, you know, maybe not recently or maybe with your partner when you did something like high level whorishness that was either like really fun or really scary, you want to do that again, or just like just one of those days you just had a very highly ho moment.
Oh, man.
Sexy little story, sexy secret.
And in like a positive way. We celebrate the hoes in here.
No, I mean, you know, look, I mean, I was, when I was outside, I was definitely outside. Shit, man. I haven't had one of those moments in a long time. I did acid once, and I had a 30-minute orgasm.
Oh, ooh. Wow. With yourself?
No.
Wow. I've never had sex on acid. That seems intense.
What was it? Was it like clitoral orgasm? What kind of orgasm was it? Was it through?
It was clitoral, but then it just turned into like a whole body.
Energetic, yeah.
It was insane.
Wow.
Did you feel anything else? Like obviously it was an orgasm. Did you get any like?
I felt like nirvana. Mm. What nirvana must feel like. And I would, you know, like, whole energy is fine. Like, I'm with that. That felt like, you know, that felt like...
Otherworldly.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I've lived my life.
Amen. Amen to that, as you should.
Damn, when you have a 30-minute orgasm, how do you go back to regular orgasms after that?
That's... You learn how to stretch them out. You ride them. You're like, oh, I can do this. Perfect. Note to self.
Yeah. I mean, I think when I free up a bit, I want to get more into tantra. You were talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Earlier. Yeah.
It's been very like.
Yeah.
Super deep and super a lot of clarity.
Yeah.
And like just like I just created the dialogue with myself that I like certain things I knew on the surface, but like in a much deeper space. Exactly. I think that you would fuck with it.
Yeah. I'm thinking about you on acid because acid is one of my favorite drugs. I don't do it very often, but
you can't.
You can like once or twice a year, maybe.
I've only
and actually,
it
it's been a while. Really, I haven't done it in a while. I haven't done it in a few years, but
it changed my life.
It changed mine too. You know, I mean, I don't. I have to be conscientious of the shit I say.
We don't endorse the shit we say.
Yeah, no. I'm not. I don't want to endorse it. We can trade stories.
But what I was thinking about in just medicine and that type of medicine in general, plant medicine. It allows you to access a different part of your mind that our human body often won't allow us to. I think that there's ways in which, you know, when you are able to really kind of be rooted and dedicated to your practices and whatever that is for you that allows your mind to expand in that way, you can reach those levels of consciousness. But when you take acid or mushrooms, it just activates that openness.
You have to drop the other side.
It's just imagine like if we were able to drop in that way all the time and the amount of pleasure we could experience on a daily basis, just in eating food, just in experiencing a conversation or
that's what tantra is for,
or an exchange with a person.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't need a third party thing.
No.
To do that.
Yeah. It's literally like getting high on your own pleasure supply, but you have to first cultivate that conversation to be like, I mean, a lot of people don't even know what brings them joy. Like, damn, is this quadruple? Like, a lot of people don't like on a simple level, like, do I like potatoes or do I like mashed potatoes? Like, simple shit. So it's like really a cultivating of your pleasures and utilizing it as medicine, just like you can utilize the forest is a pharmacy, you know. It's like, so are we, and if we can utilize that, like, and follow that pleasure, we can have like 30-minute orgasms. Yeah. Like Beatrice here.
That was an interesting day.
Well, thank you for sharing, and thank you for coming on our show, and thank you for all that you do for my pussy and all the pussies
for all the yoni owners in the world. We appreciate you.
I really do,
and even the men too, using my full size wipes and my lubes and my tantalizing serums. Thank you.
No, thank you. I appreciate y'all. Thank
this has been so good. I'm so happy to have you. I knew I was excited about this conversation, and it is everything that I knew it would be. So I'm really grateful to exchange energy.
Thank you, and I love you guys.
I love you. I was going to say that. I was like, is she going to think I'm weird if I tell her I love her? I do. I love you.
Can you tell the people where they can find you?
Yeah, you can find me at IMBDixon. BEADIXON. You can find the Honeypot at the Honeypot Co. Exactly. You see how much I'm on social media. You can find our website is thehoneypot.co or even thehoneypot.com. If you want to go to the store and find us, the best thing to do is just go to our store locator, put in your zip code, and you know. We're in Target, Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Kroger, Meijer, you know, everywhere. I'm grateful to see.
But I want
to
encourage you to buy it straight from her website because that's like, I feel like as a brand owner myself, I know that that matters.
It matters, sister. But honestly, like I want people to buy it wherever they want to.
True. Or wherever you see it,
Wherever you want to. If you want to, whoever your retailer is of choice, you can go to their website. You can buy it on Amazon. For us, you know, what we prefer is for our customers to just wherever you shop, right? And that's why it's really important for us to be wherever people shop.
That's true.
If you want to get a discount,
thank you, babe. I appreciate you.
If you go to the actual website, you can use our discount code.
There you go.
GMB.
So that's what I was going to say. You might as well. You're right. You might as well.
You
want to
get
the little
discount, the whole website, GMBC23, and they got all the things, baby.
Yeah, just click the link in this episode description. If you listen to this episode and you haven't tried Honeypot, this is your sign.
Yes.
You've heard us talk about it countless times. You've heard how it saved my life. You've heard that I think you're nasty if you don't have wipes in your bag. So go ahead and get the wipes.
The judgment.
Listen, sometimes you have to shame people into cleanliness.
Not shame.
Listen, you need to have wipes in your bag. Sandalwood wipes in my bag, honey. And you know you need them too. So make sure you click the link in this episode description. Check out the Honeypot Co. Use our code GMBC23. Make sure you check out Beatrice. And make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. Yes. Follow us on Instagram, rate and review our episodes. Make sure you check out our holiday gift guide, which is also going to feature Honeypot, of course. And Happy almost holidays. Don't let these holidays stress you out, guys. Just
please don't.
Ease man-made. Into it.
Enjoy it, too.
Ease into
Enjoy
it. Buy, Eat. The thing, buy the things that you really want that make you feel good. Give people things that they really that are going to make them feel good. And that's even the point of our gift guide, too, is like, these are products that, like, I want to give people that I love, not just shucking shit at people.
Right.
Just because I'm supposed to.
Yeah. So be kind to yourself. We love you.
We love you.
Love you.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.